time to tell the neighbors the Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
And a big good morning to all of you. Welcome to another day. Interesting day it is indeed. Outside, it's a little on the cool side, about 40 degrees, and some sun's been shining, so not bad weather at all. I understand over the weekend we might get a little precipitation, but temperatures at least above what they would normally be in this month of March. Wow. And you realize what today is? Let me check myself here. Friday the 13th. Now, nobody's mentioned that, I don't think. Have they, Jeff? Oh, you did? You mentioned? Well, Friday the 13th. Okay, well, I've got some interesting things for you to pond over today. Plus, I've got a couple of questions that pre-prepared by me. And one is Liberty Bell went through Ohio way back in 1915. Now, what on earth would the Liberty Bell be doing back then? It was on a railroad car. And it stopped in a town in Ohio. And in that town, they knew it was coming. All the church bells and wherever there was any kind of a bell started ringing. They had a little ceremony, and then the Liberty Bell went marching on in a railroad car. Now, where did that Liberty Bell stop in Ohio? That's thrown open, throw that open to guesses. There's a lot of towns along the way. It went through Bucyrus, probably on the 14th, but where did it end up? And spent most of a day. Then it moved over to Indiana. The Liberty Bell. Now, if you're a student of history, you might know that. And I also have in front of me the souvenir edition of Marion's Centenary. That's what it was called, Marion's Centenary, issued by the Marion Centennial Committee. And it's 1822 to 1922. Mm-hmm. Now, where and how did that discrepancy occur? Because this year, we're celebrating 1820 as the year, or, well, 1820, yeah, it's, what, 2020 now, but we're celebrating the 100th anniversary of Marion. And it wasn't 1822 when it began. According to today's history people, it began in 1820. And this booklet says 1822. Do any of you have one of these souvenir booklets? I don't know what they're worth now. Probably $5 or $10 a piece. Marion, 1822, 1922. Centenary celebration. And when you open it up, of course, you see the president and his wife, Florence. And also, you'll see Eber Baker and the main speaker that opened up the 1822 edition of Marion. The speaker was General John J. Pershing. Now, if you were listening over the past years, you heard us talking about, George especially. His dad was working on the railroad after the war, the war of 1918, that is. He was working over in Martell, and John J. Pershing, the general, came along and enlisted all the guys working on the railroad to become our army members. And that's why I remember that. General John J. Pershing. Okay. Was it John J.? Make sure I get that right. Also, I have with me today the 1946 edition of the Marion Phone Book. And so that could be a lot of fun, really. I'm just a second. Yeah. General John J. Pershing. That was his name. Okay. Now, I have a 1946 telephone book. And if you'd like to know what was around in 1946, and apparently it'd be gone by now, nothing stays ever in any of the surrounding cities, Galleon, Bucyrus, all of them, they've all lost those earlier businesses. Now, this 1946 edition of the phone book was printed right after World War II, and a lot of the soldiers were just coming home at that time. I think my dad got home about 1946 after having gone in 1942. And so it's interesting to look at these businesses. So, and I open it up to you. If you'd like to know where a particular business was in 1946, just give me a buzz. Or maybe you're wondering where you lived in 1946 and you can't remember. And the interesting thing is, let me just open one page and tell you. Some of the businesses were the Street Pattern Works on Florence Street. Do you know where that is? Stewart's Grocery on North State. Stuckert Beauty Parlor. Dr. Stengel, you know, Stengel True Home. Well, there's Dr. Stengel. He lived on, 142 South State Street. And then you had the Standard Oil Bulk Station. That's, you know, that's a thing of the past pretty much. And George Stafford, who had an insurance company, and he was very popular. Spotless Cleaners. There's Spotless Cleaners. We talked about that yesterday, or a couple of days ago. They were at 249 West Center. Spotless Cleaners, 249 West Center. And then you look at in another page here, Snap-on Tools. Remember, question the other day, what company sold tools that are a little bit different? That was Snap-on Tool Company. They're still in business in Marion and all around. And so then we had Edwin K. Smith, Home for Funerals. And that Home for Funerals was 267 East Center Street. Do you remember that? Smith, Edwin K. Smith, Home for Funerals. That's an interesting term, isn't it? And then the Frederick C. Smith Clinic. And you know where that was, 240 East Church. That building is gone now. That's part of Epworth Methodist Playground. And you know where the Smith Clinic then moved to that new building. And then they added on Community Hospital. And now it's All Ohio Health, I believe. Okay, so Smith Mattress Company. Do you know where they were? Where was Smith Mattress Company located in Marion? That'd be a good question, wouldn't it? But I'll tell you. They were at 192 Blaine Street. 192 Blaine. That was just north of the intersection of Blaine and Church. Then you had the Smith Motor Sales on 131 North Prospect Street. Smith Motor Sales. Yeah, so, and Smith Trucking Company. Wow. So it goes on and on. All these places that are gone. From 1946, most of them have disappeared. Wow. So if you have a question, if you want to know where you lived in 1946, if you call and give me your name, I'll tell you where you lived. I'll even tell you your phone number. Okay. So I've got a couple of, I've got three smoothies to give away today and one Panda Express. All right. It's Friday the 13th. Does that mean anything to Mike today? Oh, my. With the viral thing that's spreading ever so slowly. But now, I searched the records of who died in 1918 of the flu. Now, the flu was quite an epidemic, and they didn't call it a pandemic, I don't think, but it covered most of the country. It originated in Europe. And boy, once it got here, it just spread everywhere, the flu virus. And I found 28 names of people that died in Marion of the flu. 28 people. Now, can you imagine if that many people died from this coronavirus? But the flu was a terrible thing. And then it was followed by whooping cough, diphtheria, and some other polio. You remember lining up, those of you that took the oral vaccine for polio, do you remember lining up outside the Marion Coliseum and drinking a little cup, a little white, not plastic, but paper cup that had the vaccine in it? So that was the oral vaccine. You could also get a shot. They were both the same, apparently, or had the same results. I remember I took, I drank the polio vaccine, and there were a lot of, and you talk about being a little frightened every year. So many kids got polio. In fact, one of the kids I grew up with got a case of polio, and they found him crying and screaming one morning, and they wondered what was wrong. And here it was, he was hit by polio and spent quite a bit of time adjusting to that, and he had to wear special shoes because his legs became different lengths, and there were a lot of things have taken place. But going back to the flu, 28 people, at least 28 died of the flu in Marion. Now that's something, isn't it? If 28 people died of the corona virus in, a short period of time, then we really would have something. But right now, well, you heard the story this morning. If you have any questions, just give us a call. Okay, now where was the Liberty Bell in July of 1915? It had started out, I believe, in the Philadelphia area. And when it got to this little town, the town is smaller than Marion, or almost, they rang all the church bells. Boy, it was something to hear. 1915. What town was that in Ohio? All right. Now, another question is, let me take a look here. Okay. Yeah, I wrote down the Marion Centennial, 1822 to 1922. And that's something, too. President Harding spoke at the at Plymouth Rock in 1920, or right around, I think it was 1920, right after he was elected president. They said, hey, President, we're celebrating from 1620. That would have been the, 399th anniversary of the Plymouth Rock, of the landing of the Pilgrims. And President Harding was there. And being nice to him, they gave him a replica of the ship that the pilgrims came over on, the Mayflower. They gave him that, and it was still in the Harding home. I don't know where it will show up now. Maybe it'll be in the new museum. Maybe it will be back in the Harding home. But he put it on display, and I think there were several thousand people involved in the celebration at Plymouth Rock, including Harding coming by battleship. Either he was accompanied, well, I know for sure he was accompanied by battleships. He might have had, I don't know if they had a presidential yacht at that time or not. But here comes Harding, accompanied by all these battleships to Plymouth Rock to give the major speech. And boy, they had quite a celebration. I've got a copy of all the procedures. You can get that off the internet, incidentally. All the things that happened at Plymouth Rock in 1920. Okay, anyone? I see it's almost 10:30. We'll pause here. And if you have any questions about anything here, or if you'd like to know where you lived in 1946, we can look it up. Okay, it's now 10:30 Eastern Daylight Time. Or it will be 10:30 in a few seconds here. How you doing today, everybody? Feel good? I hope. Okay. Are there many colds going around? There'd be less flu because of all the precautions for the virus, the coronavirus. Scott, do you remember when Hillary Clinton came to Marion in 2016?
Yes, I do. I stood outside of the Harding Hotel in the rain waiting to get an interview that didn't happen.
You know why she chose the Harding Hotel to meet?
No, I don't.
Well, they used to have a hair salon in the lobby, and she could sure use it.
Here we go again. WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again, and let me, I think it was yesterday, I had a question about who made ice cream a long time ago, and it was Isley's, Parrish, Bowes, and Borden's. Okay, now let me see. I was looking up to see if I could find Stewart's Root Beer, and I don't find it here. Apparently, they had no phone back then. Okay, and heating supplies in 1946 sold by Probst Supply Company there on West Center. It's gone. And there was Jimmy's Sales and Service that sold heating equipment. And let me see. Oh, here's something. You almost could smell it from here. A place that processed hides, H-I-D-E-S. And that was, Whitcomb Hide and Fuel Company on Quarry Street. That was right across from the Quarry Street Cemetery. Would that be the reason, the real reason, people wanted the cemetery abandoned or moved and a new one built here in 1857? Because of the terrible smell? How would you like to have to go to the graveyard where your parents are buried and have to smell that horrible, the hide business? That was something. I doubt if, I don't know if there's any hide companies in this area or not. Probably not. I remember in Pennsylvania in the town of Fleetwood, they had a huge processing plant for hides, and they must have developed a pretty good system. You could not smell it. Okay. Anybody out there got any questions, too, about anything? Oh, here's a question. Okay. All right. Caller. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Hey, Charlie.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd like to cue in on something just a little bit different, if I could.
Go ahead.
Yeah, on the seriousness of this coronavirus and what it's doing to people here. And from what I heard from just last night while I was out patronizing some of the stores, people are making a mass run on toilet paper. They're making a mass run on these baby wipes. If they can't get toilet paper, they're going to use baby wipes to clean themselves.
Yes.
Now, this is getting kind of crazy.
What happens when we forecast a terrible blizzard or winter storm is coming? They clean out the stores right away.
Boy, but, you know, they're just hurting other people by doing this.
But it's human nature, and I don't think we'll ever avoid that.
Right. They're even coming as far as I've heard from Delaware and Columbus up here because they can get it up here. So that's where we're standing right now on this. This is nothing more than sheer panic.
Well, you would think so, yes.
I was appalled whenever I looked in the stores on the shelves. I was thinking, oh, my goodness, this is unprecedented.
We've had, the flu of 1918 was even worse.
Yeah, that's and I was talking to the people in there, and they ain't even got a clue when they're going to get another shipment of this stuff in right now.
Yeah, well, I think we'll get by. We can always build a log cabin.
Right, yeah, but, you know, I think people just need to step back and take a real look at this. And, you know, there's plenty of this stuff out there for everybody. They don't need to be doing this.
Yeah, well, that's right, yeah.
All right, well, I'm just going to let you go.
Okay.
Good to hear you back again.
All right, yes, thank you. Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I had vertigo. Now, here's the interesting thing. I fell outside the building here Wednesday. And I thought I just tripped. Well, here, it was vertigo. Because I go home, and all of a sudden, the room is spinning around, and I thought, aha. And so my home physician, or my physician that, everybody has their physician that they work through, and when I told my physician and got some help from others, why, it recommended this one pill. I took one pill, and it started going away. It's amazing. That was yesterday afternoon. I took one pill, a little tiny pill, kind of an oblong little tiny pill. Took one of those, and all of a sudden, I started feeling great. The spinning movement of my whole body was gone, and I've only taken two of those pills now, and I guess I won't take any more unless it came back on me. Have you ever had vertigo and wondered what to do? The pill I took was one that they used for car sickness for people. That's right. If you went to your pharmacy and told them that if you had vertigo, they could tell you all about it probably. And I think some are sold over the counter. I don't know for sure. But anyhow, that pill worked. My, what a relief. Because when you get up at night and suddenly you feel like I'm going to fall and I can't reach for, I've got to be able to grab something to hold on to. Well, what a feeling. But that's all gone now. And like they say on TV, I feel good. Okay, what else had been happening? Bierce and Slob Welding Company. That I don't believe any of that exists anymore. It was on North State, next door to Houghton Salke. And they made the ones I've talked about many, many times. They build the big steel tubes that were sunk in the ground in Chicago and filled with cement. And the Sears Tower was built on top of that, made in Marion. Yeah. See, what else is going on? Well, talk about General Trucking. Harold Bill. Do you remember Harold Bill? He had a trucking company. Typewriters. Underwood. Sold, rented, and repaired. Wow. Yeah, we have very few, if any, of these businesses from 1946 still in existence. Of course, a lot of the guys that made the business then have died of old age after World War II. Okay, so it's a kind of a nice day out there, and you can't beat the sun when it's shining. Ooh. But I hear there could be some precipitation over the weekend, but when you look at the high temperatures for next week, boy, it's looking good. 40s, 50s, 60s, yeah, can't beat that. And so we're getting close to the month of April. April showers bring May flowers. And normally I would be thinking about planting tomatoes. But this year, no more tomatoes. The only thing I'm going to plant is bee balm. And good morning.
How many shoe repair shops are in that phone book you have?
I think there's at least three. Now, just a second. I know I can almost repeat. Okay, let me see.
That like comes Jarvis?
That would come under S, wouldn't it?
For soles.
Yeah. And not H for heels.
Right.
Let's see. Okay, now I'm getting close here. All right. I'll find it yet here.
I can just remember Jeffers, on...
I know Jeffers is one.
Yeah, I can remember on State Street, there used to be one. He had these machines in there and would put soles on shoes, and it was like something out of the mid to late 1800s.
I can still smell the inside of a shoe repair place. Smelled good.
Leather.
Yeah.
Leather and oil.
Leather and oil, you're right. Okay, now here we go. I'm almost there.
Wasn't there like two or three of them in a
At
row
least.
On State Street?
Yeah, there was one. It'd been right next to, maybe it might have been in the same building that Charlie Sens opened up in. I don't know. Let me see here. I'm looking for shoe repair. Okay, let me see. Gads, what did they do with my shoe repair page? I don't see any shoe repair places. Oh, yeah, here we go. There was D'Amato's at 142 South Main. And there was Pete Fetter, and he was at that old location, 746 East Center, right next door to OK Cafe. There was No Way Shoe Repair at 157 North Main. New Way Shoe Repair North Main. That's probably where Bill Jevis worked.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Perfect Shoe Repair at 120 West Church. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4. At least four shoe repairs. And shoes were sold by Smart and Waddell. Remember Smart and Waddell?
No.
Oh, I do. Yeah, that was a common business name then. And there's, okay. That was,
most of those on Main Street used to be, just north of Fay Bank and before the railroad tracks, right?
Yeah, they were in that little strip right there. Yeah, that's where Bill Jevis had his. Bill lived south of me, and he passed away now. He lived in a trailer down on the Marion Edison Road south of me. But, yeah. And we do not have shoe repairers anymore, except Red Wing. They repair shoes.
Do we still have a Red Wing store?
Yeah, we sure... well, I'm trying to think. Do we have one in Marion?
Founders, well, that's all down now, isn't it?
Well, I don't know, but Bucyrus has one.
Yeah, when the fire burned there from the sculptor, that whole block was taken down, so it's all Founders Park now, isn't it?
Yeah. They should change it from Founders Park to a parking lot. That way people could... park there and go to those new businesses on Main. We don't need that much of a park, but we do need parking a lot, a big parking lot.
Well, maybe. Talk to the powers that be. Get the powers that be to call in.
Yeah, I'm sure they would, yeah.
yep, we used to have a lot of those, so... Got to buy new shoes. You can't get your soles
done
anymore.
And during the war, which you wouldn't remember, we had to wait till we got our rationing stamps before we get new shoes or get them repaired.
Mm.
Well, let's see. No, we got them repaired, I think, but we had to wait for our stamp.
You got a commercial coming up here shortly, so let me get out of here.
Yeah, okay. See you later.
Okay, bye. Okay.
Oh, your book is here, too. Now it's 10:45. Yeah, and during the war, boy, I tell you, my shoes, my toes stuck through the bottom sole.
Ted,
be careful.
Did you know President Harding's dog, Laddie Boy, had a gold collar?
That's not so unusual.
Really?
No, he had a golden collar. I have a golden voice. Tomato, tomato.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
/180/111, and I had a stroke. I couldn't speak. I'd walk.
150/90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again, and I'm still looking for the town in Ohio where the Liberty Bell stopped. It was on a train car, and they celebrated by ringing all the church bells, and, big, big celebration. What town was it? Now, I'll give you a hint. It was the same city that was the only manufacturer of Liederkranz cheese. Yeah, they made Liederkranz cheese. What town was it? 7403399944. Okay, here we go. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Hey, Charlie, were you talking about the C6 pills that they used to give?
Dramamine? Yeah. These weren't Dramamine, but...
They were when I was in the Army, because I went on a ship across the ocean.
Yes,
and I worked in the hospital passing out C6 pills, and they were Dramamine at the time.
Yeah, that sure is a familiar sounding name. These must be a similar concoction.
Yeah, I think there's probably a lot of different remedies now. So
these are tiny little pills, and one tiny little pill cured me.
Yeah, that's true. Well, yeah, I'm sure it did.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, isn't that something to get dizzy? And you can't to get dizzy and can't stand up? Oh, my.
Well, I know. I was at home here about a year ago, and I fell backwards, and I didn't even know what the heck happened. And my wife said, are you okay? I couldn't answer because I was passed out for a few seconds.
Yeah, well, that's what happened to me coming in here to work the other day. I was walking up the steps or the ramp, and I suddenly fell down, and some people wanted to help me up, but I got up myself, and that was the start of it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, well, I just said I'd throw that at
you. Okay, very good. And it's nice to know there's a cure. Okay. Yeah, that's... Yeah, I can't... I can't remember the name of the pill. Probably shouldn't yet, because you'd have to consult your doctor. But they sure work. Oh, my goodness. I thought, boy, if I have to go through this for the rest of my life being dizzy, I'll never make it. And... one pill, and my vertigo was just about gone. One pill. And I just wonder, it was a tiny little pill that sure must have had some very active ingredients. 10:49 is the time. What little town was it in Ohio that had the Liberty Bell stop? It was on the Pennsylvania Railroad, incidentally. And this particular town, I remember back in 1993 that we started our bike across Ohio just outside this town. And I remember having a flat tire in that town. And a man said, hey, stay right there. I'll get some things and help you repair it. Well, he did, but he brought me a miniature tulip. He said, I grow these miniature tulips. And it was a teeny-weeny tulip. But I don't know what you would do with a teeny-weeny tulip. Okay. But he was having fun. All right, 740-383-9944. Anything anyone would like to talk about today? Anything on your mind? Yeah, we know there's a lot of people wondering what they're going to do next week. Well, you know, as time moves on, we'll get through it. No problem. Well, there would be a problem, I guess. But I think one of the main things, too, is making sure that children have food to eat. Children that normally would buy their lunch at the school lunch counter got to take care of them. And so they're figuring out how to do that. They'll probably pack these food trays in school buses and move around town and probably outside of town, too. And wherever they have to stop, maybe kids could come in and grab their snack food. I don't know. But right now, they're more concerned about, you know, keeping people separate from one another, so that they do not spread the coronavirus. Okay, 10:51 is the time. What little town of the west side, some west side of Ohio, had the Liberty Bell, and they rang bells galore in celebration? What was that town? 7403-39944. So I've got three smoothies and a Panda Express on this Friday the 13th. So are you going to do anything special on Friday the 13th? Are you going to celebrate the fact that you're not superstitious and that Friday the 13th is not going to bother you at all? But it's kind of ironic, isn't it? Friday the 13th comes up along with all this coronavirus stuff. Wow. All right. So if you'd like to know where you lived in 1946 and you can't remember, just give me your name and we'll look up your phone number from 1946. There were a lot of people in Marion in this phone book that are gone now, of course. And most all of them would be rather old. Okay, it's really interesting. I have fun just looking down through this phone book and seeing the people. Well, here's one. I see one listed here, a Zimmerman. Let me see if, because, I don't know. One of these Zimmermans was a barber. Ooh, here we go. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Hey, Charlie, is there a Dr. A.E. Morrison in your phone book?
A Dr. Morrison?
Yes.
Okay, well, hang on here. I'll open up doctors, and we'll find Dr. Morrison. Let me see here. That'd be under D. Okay. I'm looking. Okay, we're getting close now. Decorators, druggists, doctors, okay. See physicians and sir, okay. I have to turn to physicians. I'll get it here, just hang on.
That's fine.
Okay. physicians. Let me see, where is that?
He was a radiologist.
Oh, okay. Let me see here. Here's physicians and surgeons. Oh, my land. I wonder if we have that many now. Now, there was Doc Altmaier. Remember him?
Yeah, Dr. Altmaier. Uh-huh.
Yeah, then there was Al Meyer. That's another Altmaier. Boxwell, Brady, Brickley.
Yeah, Dr. Brickley.
Yeah, he was in the Euler Phillips building. And there was Dr. Brown. Bull, remember Maud Bull? She had a grocery store on, what was it, Lee? What street was that? Maud Bull, she was the mother of her son was on the cemetery board, I remember. Mr. Bull. Let's see, it was J.W. Bull, Maud Bull, okay. And so we go on, Dietrich Duke. Chris Kern, Getman, Gray, Hunter, Hard, Jacoby, Kieber, Knapp, Maddox, McMurray, McNamara, two of them, Merchant, Frederick Merchant, Miller, Morgan, several Morgans, Morrison, Mauser.
Okay, the Morrison.
Oh, okay. All right. And what was his first, there's a...
Is it A.E.
Yes,
Morrison?
It's A.E.
Okay, 844, that's my dad.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's 844 East Center.
Yeah, that's right next, that's where his office was. Oh. And then Marion General Hospital, after he was established here in town, then Marion General Hospital offered him the position to run the radiology department.
Oh. Interesting, yeah.
So, yeah, after all of the schooling, he and my mother moved back to Marion, and they lived on, in the office, they lived in the top of the building, and then Dad's practice was downstairs.
Oh, okay. Interesting. So, there were a lot of doctor's offices in the homes at that time, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Dr. Grand Prospect was one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boy. And
okay, I appreciate you checking.
Okay, fine. All right.
Thank you.
Glad to hear from you.
Uh-huh.
Okay, yeah. I'll do that for anybody. There's a Dr. Plymel here. Remember the Plymels and Marion? I think they're kids. There was a daughter, if I remember right. Her first name was Tucky Plymel, and she married a guy with a hot air balloon and went to Michigan. I suppose that was her dad, J. Plymel. Then there was J.S. Rambo, A.N.H. Rue, Sager, Carl Sawyer, we know about that. So he was still alive then, 46. G.G. Smith on South Main. Boy, there's just all kinds. There was Smith, of course, Frederick C., and then another Smith, J.F., that's S-M-Y-H. S-M-Y-T-H. Dr. Starner. Now, there's one I remember. Dr. Starner practiced above the, it would have been probably the Kresge store. Do you remember that? And Dr. Starner had a nurse working for him at the time of a contest to name the new golf course being built on the south side of Marion. So Dr. Starner's nurse entered Morrowdale as her submission for a name for the golf course. Mar, M-A-R-O-D-E-L-L. Well, she won. Dr. Starner's nurse won that. I don't know what she won, but I remember talking to somebody years ago about that contest of naming the new golf course on the south side. Okay, and there's Dr. Thomas Weinbaum. Oh, remember Weinbaum. This time his office is on South Main. Wurtsboro, Jaeger, Floyd Jaeger. Okay, now, piano tuners, you remember them? Well, Harden's Music Store had a piano tuner. And Heffley, C.E. Heffley, lived on Herman Street, and he tuned pianos. And, okay, interesting. Oh, there's all these people that are gone. But there's a Roto-Rooter. They're still around. Roto-Rooter. Now, remember Mr. Stein of Stein's Studio in Marion? Yeah. He's got a picture here of a couple, and the man is wearing his World War II uniform, and it looks like he probably just got home from service at Stein Studio. Remember Stein, the little short guy? Did good work.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For people like the first female Secretary of State, Madeleine Albright.
If Donald Trump does get in, what kind of damage could he do? He's got to deal with Congress, the Senate, the Supreme Court. From somebody who's been there and dealing with foreign countries, if he's in there, what could there be a bad future?
I'm concerned about that. I have said that if he gets elected, it is a danger to the United States. The truth is, in many ways, just the kinds of things that he's saying during the campaign is a danger to the United States. The United States, for our national interests and the safety of our citizens, does have to be involved with other countries, needs to be respected by other countries, needs to respect other countries, and Donald Trump does not have the right temperament, the knowledge, or the capability of being president of the United States. I think I'm just stunned, frankly, that it has gotten this far.
To WCMH Channel 4 anchor Colleen Marshall.
That being said, you've covered many a presidential race in your career. Why do you think he walked away even before the question was finished?
You know, I can't explain that. And, I've actually been thinking about it because other people are asking questions and talking about it. And, of course, Trump supporters are very angry that I even brought up the racism question. But, you know, I didn't get to finish. Again, it was I really wanted to give him the opportunity to address all critics. But I think,